This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a joy that we can come together and fellowship in the name of the Lord. Thank you so much for the privilege to share God's word. I believe there are many among us here who can actually share better than I do. But I think sometimes the Lord speaks even through the donkey. So I hope the Lord can use me to say a few things to us today. So it's a privilege that we can spend this Lord's Day together and reflect in the scriptures. My prayer is that beyond what I am going to share by the help of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God will amplify it in your heart and actually give you a deeper insight that beyond what words can express. So I've been really challenged by what I want to share today, and I pray personally that it will be a reality in my own heart and in my own life and in the life of each and every one of us, that we will make a difference in our generation and we'll be true to the Lord. We'll be true to the Lord. It's becoming more and more difficult to live for Christ in our generation. And it's not new. It's been like that for ages. And to the glory of God, we have this pen down for us so we can read in the Bible about life of people who have gone ahead of us. The Bible said the things that are written are for our example. It's for our example. So that we don't have an excuse, kind of. We can't say, I couldn't live like this because of this, because of this, because of this. Because there are so many others who have lived the same way. I don't think things is going to get better in the world. I don't think so. I think things might be actually getting worse and worse. Yeah. Yeah. So, because if you look at the scripture, and I think it's in Timothy, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking expressly that in the last day, perilous times shall come. Mm-hmm. And I think we're living in the last day. So things are not going to get better and better. It's going to actually get worse. It's going to get more difficult to live for Christ. More difficult to stick out our neck for Christ, to say, I am for Christ. Especially now in the world that there is a kind of a push for democracy. A push for democracy. Even the nations that are not democratic, you will see that the nations that are democratic are trying to push that those nations could also become democratic. And what is democracy? Simply divine. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. That's democracy. So where's God? Where is God? It's government of the people, by the people, for the people. And in democracy, majority rules. Except maybe once in a while where we have electoral college. but majority rules, majority, you know, majority carry the vote. You know, if we have some the misunderstanding and things that are not very clear, we say, okay, how many people are for this? Raise up your hand. I say, okay, we have more people than this, so we go that way. So you could see how the world can continue to drift in the directions of the desires of people. I pray that we will make a difference in our generation. I've been reading the book of Joshua, and because the Lord has been speaking to my heart about the city where I work in Morden, and in Morden there are a lot of Muslims there, and especially in the street where I work. So sometimes if I go for lunch, I see so many people, and I'm saying, "Oh Lord God, I perceive the Lord wants me to do something, to be involved in praying for them, to be involved in probably reaching out to them." So I know that's the burden in my heart. So I wanted to look at examples in the Bible of someone who took a city for God. So that led me to study the book of Joshua. You know, that Joshua was led the conquest that, you know, and eventually divided the land for the children of Israel. So, and I'm going to share a few things from that place. Particularly, I got to chapter 14 and I got stuck. At that point. So those are some of the things I will be sharing. So I got to chapter 14. Let's open to Joshua 14. And that place actually led me to spend some time in prayer. And so Joshua chapter 14. So if you're looking for a topic for the message, I just titled it Wholehearted Devotion to God. Wholehearted Devotion to God. In other words, total devotion. Not 99%, complete devotion for the Lord. So I read from Joshua chapter 14. And you know, from the beginning of Joshua, you know, chapter 1, just to have this in context, chapter 1, God kind of announced again to Joshua, Moses is dead. Now you're going to lead these people. Moses has finished his own assignment. He led the people out of the land of Egypt. Now you're going to divide the land for the people. So stop mourning. You got to do something right now. And God strengthened him, encouraged him. And then we remember what happened. They walk across the Jordan and then land into the promised land. Then the Jericho, and they continue on and on and on. They have some problem with Ai because of Babylonish garment that Achan took, and God disciplined them for that. Some people died, then they cleaned the camp, and then they moved forward again. So now the division of inheritance began, and it was time for Judah, the people of Judah, to get their own inheritance. So I will read from verse 6. Are we all there? Joshua 14. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Now, we might need to go back a little because he was telling a story here of something that happened 45 years ago. Something that happened 45 years ago. You know, he talked about, they went to spy the land in Kadesh Barnea, and he brought word as it was in his heart. So, but when we read this, we discover that Caleb, he belongs to the tribe of Judah. He was the one chosen among the tribe of Judah to go with others to spy the land. So, but you also see that it's also referred to as a Kenizzite. As I study here, it sounds like he has dual citizenship. There's some conflict among the scholars about that. I don't want to go to that. But he was a Kenizzite. And also, probably, it now became a part of people of Judah. And he was among the people that went to spy the land from Kadesh Barnea. Maybe to just get that story a little bit, let's go 45 years ago and really see what happened. Because he said, I brought word again as it was in my heart, you know. So, let's see. Okay, let me just finish reading this, just for us to have an idea of what's going on, and then we'll go back. So, I read again from verse 7. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Please take note of that. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely, the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because You have wholly followed the Lord, my God. Take note of that. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Just as he said, these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out. Just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Take note of that. That's the third time it's going to be mentioned. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriat Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Amen. Amen. Something happened in Kadesh Barnea about 45 years ago. So there is a gap of 45 years between Number chapter 13 and here. Moses had to send 12 spies to go and spy the land. But when we read the Bible very well, actually, you discover that it was not just the initiative of Moses to send spies. It was the people that compelled him to send spies. Now, look at Number chapter 13. Please just let's just go with me, and may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. In Numbers chapter 13, he said, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their father, you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men, who are heirs of the people of Israel. Now, when you read this, you say, oh, it is the Lord that commanded that Moses should do that. But it's good to take the scripture completely to really understand. Because there are times when people are putting pressure, God will say, go do it. You remember the choosing of king? They came, they said, they want king. Moses said, why would you say that? God is your king. He said, but we want king. Who will find? God said, okay, choose them a king. There is the perfect will of God. There is the permissive will of God. It's just like a father. If your child keeps bothering you, you say, okay. And then maybe the child will face the consequence. So actually, it's not like God saying, choose 12 and let them go and spy the land. Look at Deuteronomy, just for us to, please, just go with me, okay? Let's go to Deuteronomy. We'll see that it's not actually that God said that. God had to say that because they requested for that. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, you know, Deuteronomy was just like Moses going over all that has happened to the children of Israel, giving them history of the dealings of God in their life. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, if we read from verse 19, Deuteronomy 1 verse 19, he said, then we set out from El Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that we saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. Okay. And I said to you, you have come to the country of Amorite, where the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession. As the Lord, the God of your father, has told you, do not fear and be dismayed. What did they say? God has given you the land. You got to go. You got to go. Go possess it. God has given you the land. But they have something else in mind. Verse 22. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. Who made the request for spies to be sent? It's the people. It's the people that made the request for spies. And Moses said, well, the thing seemed good to me. You know, sometimes people will tell you something, say, well, it seems good. He said, the thing seems good to me. And I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. I asked them to go. So it wasn't God. You understand? It was the desire of the people. Now, the question is, why do they want to go spy the land?
Because they're insecure.
They're insecure. What has God told them about the land? He's giving it to them. What did he tell them? Did he give them some description of the land? He gave them description of the land, all right? They don't believe him. They don't believe him because if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. They have a description of the land already. They have the description. Everything is clear about the land. You know, in chapter 8, can somebody just read from 7 to 10 for us? This is a description of the land. Deuteronomy 8, from 7 to...
Yeah. Oh, for the Lord, your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where you, where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord, your God, for the good man he has given you. Be careful.
It's okay. Thank you very much. It's described. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. You see a well there that you didn't dig. Everything is all set for you. As we say here, say you are all set. But we want to see. They have had, but they want to see. They want to see. Because there are people that believe in the slogan, seeing is believing. If they don't see, they cannot believe. So they say, let's send spy to go and check whether what God said is true. You see, when you begin to doubt what God has said to you, you are slipping out into the hand of the enemy. It's just like our father, Adam and Eve. How did they fall? As the Lord said that you should not hit this? As the Lord said you shouldn't hit this? You know why the Lord said you should not eat this? So that you will not be wise like him. When that doubt about God is created, you begin to make misuses. So they wanted to see. They wanted to see. That's the reason. So it's established. It's not that Moses said, let's choose spy to go and see. The people made a request for that. Because they want to see. Because they don't believe what is going on. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 13. So, anyway, Moses sent the spies, you know, just as they have requested, and we could see the name of the leaders. And from verse 4, Numbers 13 from verse 4, and these were their names from the tribe of Reuben, Shammah the son of Zachor, tribe of Simeon, and on and on and on and on and on. And also, Caleb from the tribe of Judah, and Joshua also son of Nun from the tribe of Osia, the son of Nun from the tribe of Benjamin, tribe of Ephraim, and on and on and on and on. So Moses sent them. And what Moses asked them to go and look at, God has already described it, that it is so. If you look from verse 17 to 20, the description that he said they should look. And then they went, they looked at the land, and then they came back with the report. They spent 40 days. They did a good exploration of the land. And they found it as God said. They found it as God said. But unfortunately, they saw something else, which they would not have seen if they have not gone to spy the land. You see, when you take the wrong step, if you don't come back quickly, you are going down the drain. When we take the first wrong step, if the Lord wants you, come back, and we don't, you go down. You see what you're not, so, what will terrify you. So they brought back the report. So let's read now from verse 25. Are you following me, people of God? Verse 25, Numbers 13. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. You know, the grapes from the land is so big that it took two people to carry it. Have you seen a grape that two people had to carry? It's so big that they had to put a stick in between and two strong men had to carry it, just as the Lord has said to them about where he's taking them to. So, verse 27, they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negev, the Hittite, the Jebusite, the Hamorite dwell in the country, and the Canaanite dwell in the sea and along the Jordan." So they did a good exploration. But they were already magnifying things. And Caleb was a bit scared. They're going to mess this thing up for people. They're talking more about what they see in the people. They're not talking about what they see through God. Caleb had to quiet them. Verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb, an overcomer. Yeah, we went together. I saw them too. I saw the giant. Humanly speaking, we're like this. They were like this. I saw what you saw. But that's not the point. What you saw, I saw. I saw how difficult it was for us to even climb the wall to spy a little bit. It's fortified. It quieted them. Verse 31. Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We were not able. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. Is it mine? It's not mine. Okay. That they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anna, who come from the Nephilim. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them." This is the report that they brought. They brought a bad report of the land. They scared the people. They frightened the people because they were walking by sight and not by faith, because they were operating in fear and not in faith. The faithfulness of Caleb made him to make a pronouncement. Let us go up at once. We are well able to overcome it. But the people say, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. What kind of spirit is in Caleb? He had the same experience as they had as they were coming out of Egypt. He had the same leader as Moses. He had the same experience of a cloud leading them by day and a pillar of fire by night. Just as they experienced. Why was he seeing things differently? Caleb saw God. Caleb saw God's power. Caleb saw possibilities. The 10 other spies saw men. They saw men's strength and a fortified city. They saw the impossibilities. The same sons of Abraham, the same Jews, the same people that are called by the name of God, God of the Hebrews. They saw things differently. Caleb walked by faith, but the 10 spies by sight. Caleb had a personal relationship with God that makes him to see God in every situation, and as a result of it, every other thing becomes shadow. He has a different perspective because of personal relationship that he has developed with God. Somebody said, any man who can kneel before God can stand before any man. Anyone who can kneel before God can stand in any situation. Any man who focuses his attention on God and God alone, every other thing of life becomes shadow in the light of God. Caleb, he saw things differently. He saw things from God's perspective, from God's ability, and not man's perspective. But the others, they had a grasshopper mentality. So, when I read this place, I said, what kind of spirit is in Caleb? And when you read in different places, you see 6 times it was mentioned, he wholly followed the Lord. He was devoted to God totally. He made a difference. His focus, his passion, his desire is for God. His delight is in the Lord. But the people were rebellious. They rebelled against God. I mean, if we even in chapter 14, we can go to chapter 14. I mean, when you hear that kind of report, of course, they have, even people that have a heart of lion, they will faint. What? The place is fortified? The sons of Anak are there. The Nephilims are there. How are we going to get? How are we going to get it? And hear what the people say in chapter 14, verse 1. Numbers 14, 1. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation, millions of people, they said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. How we wish we had perished in Egypt. Or would that we had died in the wilderness where we have roamed all this time. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword. Can you see negativity? Listen, when you become fearful, you are opening the gate for the enemy to torment you. Somebody said, and I believe it, he said, fear is the dark room where people develop their negatives. Fear is the dark room where people develop their negatives. When you open the door for fear, it weakens you. When you say a man is strong, it's because he has faith. All that Caleb is saying, he's not talking about his power. He can't face an Anak. He can't. He can't scale through a fortified city by his own strength. That's why when you read about the life of David, David said, by my Lord, I run through a troop. By my Lord, I leap over the wall. The people were fearful. They were rebellious. So fear that has gripped them begin to make them to imagine what will happen. I mean, brothers and sisters, maybe sometime in your life you have been fearful, you've been panicked, you panic. You remember how that was flooding into your mind? You remember all the negative things coming to you? As if you're going to die, as if everything around you is going to collapse. And fear too is contagious, you know? Let somebody just say, I'm going to say, hey, see lion here. You see, some of us will jump. Hey, just see lion. Even if lion not coming. You see people will always say, and somebody say, see a snake there. You see people jump up here right now in this fellowship. You see people jumping under it, under the sea. If somebody says snake, that's how contagious fear can be. So the people were fearful and the people were rebellious. And their fear and their rebelliousness makes them to think that they are grasshopper. They have lack of faith. They don't believe in what God has said. And of course, the anger of the Lord came upon them. Now, let me continue in that verse 3. He said, our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. And they would have succeeded in doing it because of democracy, correct? Beware of democracy in the house of God. Beware of democracy in the house of God. Theocracy is better. The rulership and the kingship of God over his people. That's why we affirm over and over again, Christ is the head of the church, not the pastor. Not the elders. They are all under shepherd, under God. They want to choose a leader and return back. And God's anger broke out against them. Verse 26, the same number as 14. Verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I've heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declare the law, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Be careful what you say with your mouth. Let's be careful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, they will eat the fruit that comes from it. Let's be careful what we confess with our mouth. Even when we feel negative, let's confess what we believe God is saying. Amen. This is very important. You know. So God said, what you said in your mouth, that's what is going to happen. He said, your dead body shall fall in this wilderness, and of all your number listed in the censor from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Why did God choose 20 years old and upward? They have knowledge. They have understanding. They have experienced God. They should know better. But those who are younger, maybe they've not really experienced God as much. So God spared them. God spared them. He said, those who are 20 years old and above, that's sentence of death. So there are some of them that died at the age of 60. Or younger. Because they died at different times. But from 20 years old up, no one shall come into the land where I swore that I will make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said will become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. We all know the story. God preserved Caleb all through the wilderness journey for 40 years and 5 years in the promised land until his allotment. But look at Caleb. Caleb suffered with the people. Caleb has done nothing wrong. Caleb and Joshua has done nothing wrong. They only follow the Lord. They have an inheritance. But Caleb had to wait for 45 years to get his inheritance. Yet, even during the 45 years in the wilderness, Caleb remained faithful to God. Brother and sister, 45 years is a long time when you have not done anything wrong. 45 years is a long time. You remain faithful to God in time of darkness and bereavement. Maybe he was actually discipling the new generation. It was very lonely, you know. I think so. I mean, let your Bible didn't tell us so much about what happened within that time for Caleb. But because at the age of 85, he eventually got his inheritance to show that he remained faithful. But just imagine, for 45 years, brothers and sisters, won't you grumble? Won't you grumble against God and say, God, but I only followed you. Why can't you just transport me so that I get my own inheritance? Why should I suffer with the people in the wilderness? To me, I felt also it must have been a depressive time for Caleb. Can you imagine burying all your compatriots? How many funerals did Caleb attended? Of people of his own age mate. That must be depressive, don't you think so? By the time virtually all of them died, he and Joshua is the old man there now. All the other people are younger. It was lonely. Do you ever feel lonely for doing the will of God? Do you ever feel alone at work in terms of faithfulness to God? Caleb experienced that. But he remained faithful to God for 45 years. And I think that's a great lesson for us as Christians. For us to remain faithful to God during trying times and wilderness time in our life. I don't know the time of wilderness you may be experiencing now. You've not done anything wrong. God has promised you an inheritance, but it seems delayed. What's going on here? You are not alone. Caleb experienced the same. He waited for his inheritance. He waited for 45 years. Abraham waited for 25 years before the promise came to reality. He has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. Anna waited for so long. She's done nothing wrong. She's a worshiper of God. Zechariah and Elizabeth had to wait for so long before John came. They've even almost given up. Because Zechariah actually questioned Angel Gabriel, how is that going to happen? We are too old now. We've actually forgotten talking about having a baby. What's this idea you're bringing to our mind? They kind of gave up. So, has God promised you of something for so many years and it hasn't come to pass? You have a compatriot. His name is Caleb. He waited. He waited. He trusted, he waited, and he was able to claim the promise. You know, when we look at different things, you know, that Caleb did, you could see some contrast between Caleb and the people of Israel, the other 10 spies. And when you look at that, you see some, you know, contradiction in their attitude, differences in their attitude. Their attitude are different. They have different attitudes. You know, as I kept studying, I got in a place, you know, somebody who made a good comparison. He said, Caleb desired Canaan. The 10 despised Canaan. Caleb knew, God said it. Let's go for it. But the people say, no, God wants to kill us. That's why I brought us out of Egypt. I think we have limited memory sometimes. That includes me. Of quickly forgetting what God has done in the past. by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Caleb sought to enter the land, detain, they slander the land. They say it's a land that hit the inhabitants. Caleb has spirit of an overcomer. The ten are the spirit of one that has been overcome. Caleb said, we are well able to overcome it. The ten said, we are not able to go up against these people. Caleb looked up at God's promises and power. The ten looked at themselves and ran at their enemies. Caleb saw God. The ten saw giants. Caleb only followed the Lord his God. The ten did not wholly follow the Lord his God. Where do you belong? Brothers, sisters, where do you belong? Are you on the Caleb? Or should I say the God of Caleb's side? Or you are on the side of the ten spies? We are one or the other. But my encouragement to us this morning is, let's be like Caleb, who has the spirit of the living God, who saw what others could not see. Let's identify with the minority. Let's not follow the multitude to do evil. Let's make a difference in our generation. That could be very lonely. To be part of minority could be very lonely. Could be part of a minority, may not even make many things to get done. We know what's happening in the system of government. You know, the minority, they don't make too much impact. Because the majority, you see the majority making progress. Worldly progress. Let's be part of the minority. Let's go now to Joshua chapter 14. So we've got the story. We knew all that happened. And for 45 years, this man waited. This man waited almost half of his life, actually more than half of his life. He was 40 when they went to spy Kadesh Barnea, and for 45 years he waited for the promise, and the Lord preserved him. Let's look at verse 6 of that Joshua, and let's kind of pick few things there as the Lord will speak to our hearts. Verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. He claimed the promise. He stood up. Joshua didn't call him and said, Caleb, come and take the inheritance that God said. He spoke up. Have you been faithful to the Lord? There's a time to speak up and say, Lord, the time has come. You remember what Jeremiah did? When God has promised the children of Israel that 70 years is going to restore them back, he spent time in prayer and fasting. He said, when I read and I remember that the 70 years completed, I set my face to seek the Lord. And God revealed to him, there is a time to speak up and claim that where the Lord has promised us at the right time. There's a time to petition, to cry out to God. He came to him and he brought up some good arguments, you know. We've read that before. Do you remember his argument? No, but one thing before that, I also saw something about the spirit of Caleb here. Look at verse 8. Are we there? 14 verse 8. He said, a little part of verse 7, he said, I brought him word again as it was in my heart. That's, he spoke as it was in his heart. He said, but my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people mad. He said, my brothers. That kind of sound personal, isn't it? Isn't that sound affectionate? My brothers. That's another spirit of Caleb. He wasn't judgmental. He was still loving. He said, my brothers. How easy it is for us to be self-righteous and to think we are far better than other people? How is it that we are like the brother of the prodigal son. You remember the brother of prodigal son? He said, and when this your son came, you killed the fatted calf. This is your son, not my brother. Not my brother anymore, your son. And the father needs to now correct him and say, hey, my son, your brother. We need to do this for your brother. Not just my son, it's your brother. But look at the spirit of Caleb. Even in the midst of that, I perceive probably Caleb was actually praying, oh Lord God, please spare their life. Don't let them die. Don't let them die. Maybe. But when I read this and he said, my brothers, something came to my mind. Said, what an affectionate guy Caleb was. How affectionate are we? When we even see people go the wrong way, do we begin to say, I'm not like that person? Are we like the Pharisee? Eh? I fast 2 times a week. I pay my tithe. I'm not like that guy. He said, my brothers. You know, we could see that affection. And then it brought up the argument why it should be given this. We have read it before. You know, he said, God said it. On that day, God said. He said, God said it. And then he said, and I have been faithful. He said, I wholly follow the Lord my God. I wholly follow the Lord my God. And then the third point, you saw the third point, he said, I am still strong. I am still as strong. Just like 85 years ago, I'm still strong. I can still fight. Is that not an encouragement to people who are old? Many of us are still very young. Do you know some people, they retire quickly? I'm 65, I'm 75. I got to retire now. Is the life of Caleb not a rebuke to people who think they cannot achieve great things for God anymore at 75? Is this not an encouragement to us that whatever be our age, we can still do exploit for God? He said, I'm 85 years old. Never write yourself off when it comes to the work of God. Say to yourself, when the world is saying you should retire, tell them, I will not retire, I will refire. I will not retire, I will refire. When it comes to serving the Lord, no retirement, but refiring. He said, I am still strong. And look at something again about Caleb. I hope the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Everything about Caleb is the Lord. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. Can somebody read verse 10 for us? That's Joshua 14, verse 10.
Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old.
The Lord has kept me alive. The Lord will keep you alive. If the Lord has promised you an inheritance, it will keep you alive. Everything about Caleb is the Lord. It was the Lord he saw when they went for that exploration. It is the Lord that kept him alive. You know, a child was given puzzle to put together. Before you know it, he has put the puzzle together. The mom said, what? How did you do that? That's so cool. Maybe the mom wants to use that to just distract the boy so that he can, you know, have some rest. The boy has put it together. How did you do that? And then the boy said, Mom, do you see the picture of a man at the back of that puzzle? He said, you know what I did? I just put the man together. When I got that man right, I got the other right. That's it. It has spiritual principle. When you get God right, every other thing will be right. Do you have a lot of puzzles that are not clear? Just God get right. Get God right. When the Lord is central, you will get the other thing right, okay? Call the temple. The German woman that hid a lot of Jews during the Holocaust. she said, I know some of us probably know this. She said, you can trust an unknown future into the hand of a known God. Mm-hmm. You can always trust an unknown future into the hand of a known God. When you get God right, you get every other thing right. This is my prayer for myself, for all of us. God first. So for Caleb, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. You see, over and over again, you say, the Lord has kept me alive. Somebody read verse 12 again. Verse 12. The same Joshua 14.
Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said.
The Lord helping me. Can you see that again? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. And when you see Lord in the Bible written in capital, is it in capital in your Bible? Anytime you see it written in capital, that is Yahweh. Which actually the Jews, they don't know how to pronounce because it doesn't have a vowel. It's Y-H-W-H. So they have to put A and E in between to be able to pronounce it. Yahweh. Because it's so big for the Jews to pronounce, to call. The Most High God. And that's the one that Caleb is saying here. The Lord Most High. If it delights in me, it will give it to me. And, you know, as I read the book of Joshua, I'm so challenged that I fight many battles by my own strength. There was a place where they went to fight. I think it's Ai or something. And then after they fought, they killed so many. And then the Lord rained down hailstone from heaven. And the Bible says, the people that the hailstone killed were far more than the people they killed. Do we trust God to fight our battles? For Caleb, it is the Lord. It's the Lord. Everything about him is the Lord. So if the Lord delights in me, he's going to give it to me. And we all know the story he was giving Hebron. Hebron is very significant. Probably Caleb was dreaming about Hebron all his life. Maybe from that 40, when God already said, this place, I'm going to give. Maybe he's been thinking of Hebron. Maybe for 45 years, Hebron was in his mind. Maybe everything about him is Hebron. That place that God has promised. Hebron actually means fellowship. Hebron means fellowship. And Hebron was the place where Abraham pitched his tent under the hook when the three angels visited him. You remember that story? And those three angels are incarnate Christ, incarnate God, when you look at it, when you study it deeply. The Lord God Almighty himself has stepped on Hebron. He walked in Hebron to visit Abraham. Hebron was the place where the tomb of Sarah is. The tomb of Abraham. The tomb of Isaac, of Rebecca, of Rachel, was in Hebron. Was in Hebron. Caleb's heart longed for Hebron, and the Lord kept him alive, and he conquered it. And you remember the people there, the Anakims, that the other 10 spies were saying will destroy them, will kill them, that they were giants. This man at 85, he killed all of them, and he possessed the land because the Lord was with him. And he reached out to younger generation too. It's not like Caleb can't take everything. But you remember, he wanted to involve the younger generation. He said, okay, you guys come. Anybody who is going to take that place, I'm going to give that person my daughter. Ask her for wife. He wanted to reach out to the younger generation. And Othniel, his nephew, took it. And he gave his daughter to Othniel. And Othniel became one of the judges in Israel. He was reaching out. What does that tell us too? That tells us that when God bless you at all, it's not for you. It's because of other people. He was a covenant carrier. The covenant of Abraham was with him. And you know what God told Abraham? Abraham, God said to Abraham, I will bless you, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So, if your salary increases, if your income increases, it's not to multiply shoes. It's not to multiply shares. It's not to change your accommodation, actually. It's not to change your car. Of course, if your car is really, really bad, it's good to change it, just for safety reason. But it's not to change, you buy a car in 2016 model, and now you need 2017 model. It's not for that. I think we know that as people of God, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And we could see that display in the life of Caleb. Caleb had a different spirit, the spirit of the living God. And I believe we all have it if we have truly given our life to Christ. Yes. Amen. Let's conclude. How do we apply this today? So many applications that I've shared a little bit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts even beyond what my voice can express. I'll just speak of a few things. Number one, please don't follow the crowd to rebel against God. Stand out for God. You're going to be lonely. That's okay. Okay? That's okay. That's fine. Let's be different. We were coming today, you know, we had to move a little bit. And we saw a sticker at the back of a car by Dr. There's a quotation by Dr. Seuss. I didn't even know much about it. I said, wow, this kind of fits into the message. What did he say? He said, don't fit in. You are born to be different. Say, why fit in? When you are born to stand different. Of course, that may have a different meaning, but let's apply it here. Where do you want to fit in? Why? Why do you want to fit in? Why do I want to fit in? Why do I want to say everybody does it? No. Let's be different. Let's teach the world what is the truth. Jesus was different, and we had to walk in his step. So let's not follow the crowd. Let's be part of the minority and face the consequences. Is there persecution in America as it is in Saudi Arabia? Is there persecution for Christians in America as it is in Saudi Arabia? Is there persecution here? No persecution here. Okay. How many people believe there is persecution here? There's persecution here. It's not the same like Saudi Arabia or in North Korea. But there's persecution for Christians here. But you can avoid it. You can dodge it. You understand what I mean? So there's persecution here, but you can dodge it. Unrighteously, you can dodge it by following the people. You will be discriminated against in some situation if you stand at your place of work. If you stand at school, people will speak against you. You may even be denied some rights by virtue of your standing. But people can dodge persecution in America. It's not that there is no persecution in America. You begin to stand to be different. You begin to speak. You will see persecution. You will see what people will say to you. You will see how you will be excused from some things. So there is. You know, number two, let's follow the Lord wholeheartedly. In this generation, let's be like Caleb. Have you read about Enoch? Enoch was with God and was not. Have you read about Daniel? Daniel had opportunity to enjoy nice food and have nine big chicks. You remember Daniel? Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego? They propose in their heart, they're not going to divide themselves with the food that is from the king's table. Because they know this is offered to idols. And they believe in the God of the Hebrews. They ask only for vegetables. And we all know. So somebody who eats vegetable can be much more look healthy than people who eat chicken, meat, everything, three times a day. That is the grace of God. Let's be different. Let's be different. Number three, let's say the Lord always before us, God of possibility. If God says it, he will do it. when you get God right, you will get every other thing right. Let's be like Caleb. In every situation, let's have God's perspective. Let's ask, oh Lord, what are you saying in this kind of situation? To be honest, oh Lord, this is terrifying. To be honest, oh Lord, this is hard and looks impossible. May we revert back quickly and say, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Number four, let's be devoted to the Lord true to our old age. How many of us here will still be here in the next 50 years? Probably some. Definitely not me. I should be gone by then, if the Lord tarry. But imagine the next 40 years. Imagine the next 20 years of your life. Will you still be faithful to God? I think, by the grace of God, even if we don't grow and be physically strong at 85, we can keep on growing spiritually. Amen. We can keep on growing spiritually. We can be stronger and stronger spiritually. We can be stronger and stronger spiritually. We should not get to a point in our life in which spiritually our growth is stunted or flat. We should keep on growing. Keep on growing. Just like Caleb. Number five, let's guide ourselves and prepare for battle. Did the Lord promise Caleb inheritance? Yes. Has the Lord given the Hebron to Caleb? Yes. But can Caleb just walk in and take the place? No. He has to fight. Amen. Over and over again, as we read in the book of Deuteronomy, God will say, I have given you the land, begin to possess it. Can you see the difference? I have given you the land, begin to possess it. There is a battle to fight. The joy and the beauty of it is that the devil is a defeated foe. The beauty of it is that the ultimate victory has been won on the cross of Calvary for us. But we still need to fight. Is God speaking to you about Boston? Is anybody here? God told you, I have given Boston to you. It's true. If he said that, but we still need to fight. We still need to fight on our knee. We still need to cry out to God. We still need to do everything that God asks us to do. It is true he has given it to us, but we have to possess it. Do you know some children of Israel? They didn't possess their possession, even though the land was allotted to them. If you read over, you see that they could not drive out the Canaanites. They could not drive out this. They could not drive out this. It's not that God didn't give it to them. But maybe along the way, they don't trust God. But Caleb, he got everything. He got everything. Because he trusted in the Lord. So what am I saying? Brethren, let's fight. We got to fight. We got to fight, but we'll be fighting in victory. Number six, let's have the right attitude always. And number seven, do you want to enjoy your inheritance? Please, only follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Let's read this last scripture and then we'll pray. Joshua 22. You remember the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. They already got their inheritance on the other side of Jordan. But Moses said, you're not going to stay there. You're going to go with your brothers. Until they get their own, you cannot go back. And they were faithful. They follow and they fall. And this is what Joshua told them when it was time for them to go. And I think we need to take this to heart, all of us. Joshua chapter 22. This is what he told them. And I pray that we will take it to heart. So he has already informed them. Now you can go back. All your brothers, they already have their inheritance. And in verse 4, chapter 22, he said, and now, the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers, as he promised them. Therefore, turn and go to your tent in the land where your possession lies, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. The emphasis is in verse 5. Let's listen to this. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love the Lord your God and to walk in all his way, not 99% of his ways, all, and to keep his commandments, and to cling to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's the secret. With all your heart, with all your soul. Is there still part of my heart that is not occupied by God? Am I still holding back some things from God? Are you? Where is God in your house? In the sitting room, not in the bedroom. In the bedroom, but not in the kitchen. The rooms in your heart, where is God? If it's not the Lord of all, it's not the Lord at all. He will not settle for 99%. Brethren, where are the generations of Caleb? Who will make a difference? Who, when other people are seeing giants, will be seeing God? Let's rise up as a generation of Caleb. Let's rise up as people that believe in the God of Caleb. 2 against 10. That's too wide margin, isn't it? Joshua and Caleb against 10. It's too wide. But they made a difference. And today we talk about them. In 50 years, when we are no longer all here, or those who want to live 200 years, I don't know. What will people still say about us? Will it be said that we serve God in our own generation and we die? Let's pray. My brother, my sister, it's up to you to just spend some time to pray for yourself in the light of what the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart this morning. All these are written for our example, for our rebuke, for correction, so that the man and woman of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished into every good work. Are you wholly devoted to God, or you have some reservation? Please pray for yourself. I pray for myself. The Lord help me.